relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends. Greetings. We have to talk about some serious things today. We have some amazing guests. Third hour one-on-one is going to be with former U.S. Naval Intelligence and U.S. Army Air Force officer. That's pretty cool. When you've served in two services, that's a big deal. But then you get to be Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. And then after that, a member of the Trump cabinet as Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Robert Wilkie will be with us in studio for the whole third hour analyzing the events that have occurred in the last few days in Ukraine. Lord Conrad Black will be with us, and we will also be talking to John Solomon later this hour. I want to take your calls. I haven't been taking enough of your calls in the last few days because of the geopolitical events that have been occurring. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. But first, I've really had it. I've had it with people like, what is it? Election Wizard? Is that the account? Election Wizard. Somebody who I followed on Twitter. I have no idea who's behind Election Wizard. But Election Wizard is a liar. And worse than that, they've accused somebody I respect highly of being a liar, of being a swamp creature, quote-unquote, parroting talking points that have been debunked. Who are they talking about? Heard of? No. He may work for another company, but he is the great one. He is a radio giant. His name is Mark Levin. And this account, Election Wizard, said the following about this clip. Play clip.
There are no nukes there. There's been a phony story about American biotech centers there to develop weapons and so forth. And, of course, the Putin wing of the Republican Party and the Putin wing of the media and the Putin wing of the Democrat Party, they're all over it. Now, those are old Soviet locations that the United States has located and has been trying to deal with. We're not developing biochemical weapons in the Ukraine. What is it about these so-called American firsters in the end who are really American lasters, if you think about it?
This account has 300,000 followers. Election Wizard on Twitter. And tweeted this. Holy cow, it's true. Mark Levin actually parroted Mitt Romney's debunked talking points about the U.S.-backed biolabs in Ukraine. What happened to the great one? Nothing, you cretin. Unless you're a Putin puppet, which is worse. He spoke the truth about the biolabs. Let's talk about the biolabs. Foolishly, the Ukraine, the largest republic of the former Soviet Union, when it became an independent country, as the USSR dissolved itself, Christmas Day 1991, it inherited a lot, and I mean the most, nuclear weapons outside of Russia and America. Yeah, more than China, more than the UK, more than France, more than Israel. For some reason, probably well-meaning, oh, unless it's that Klaus Schwab guy. For some well-meaning reason, probably, the Clinton administration, our allies thought, you know, we don't need more nuclear weapons in the world. We need less. How about we make it so that the Ukraine gets guarantees from us and Russia and gives those nuclear weapons to Russia? Denuclearizes themselves. Gives away the best defensive measure they have because, you know, at least there's one less country with nukes. And we supported them. We encouraged it. We made them fundamentally defenseless in terms of Russian aggression. And we guaranteed their security, along with Russia. Let's not leave Russia out of it. The Budapest Accords, the Budapest Memorandum said Ukraine, in exchange for giving up its nuclear weapons, will have its security guaranteed by us and Russia. Will be prevented from being aggressed upon. Yeah, I bet they wish they had those nukes right now. If there's only one thing you draw from the last 3.5 weeks, as thousands of people are murdered in Ukraine, children, pregnant women, as young men, 18-year-olds, I'm going to show you a video later, 18-year-olds with 3 days training and an AK go to protect their country. The biggest, most obvious lesson of all, yeah, nuclear weapons are great. Because if Ukraine had kept them, they never would have been invaded. So let's hear it for Edward Teller. Let's hear it for those who developed the Manhattan Project and at least guaranteed the security of America. So what happened as the nuclear deal was being sealed? Ukraine, as a part of the Soviet Union, the largest republic outside of Russia, also had thousands of bioweapons labs, which were illegal in accordance with the 1972 Bioweapons Treaty. However, every nation is allowed to research bioweapons, to develop defensive procedures to protect themselves from those who would use biological weapons against them. So they kept these labs as they gave the nukes back. So at least if Russia uses anthrax against us, we may have a way to develop something to protect ourselves. What did America do? Actually, thanks to Senators Nunn and Lugar, and also a Barack Obama member of the Senate, we gave some funding to these labs to help them maintain their security. And maybe we could learn something from what the Soviets were doing in those labs for so long. It's not a bad idea. So that story is now being used to besmirch Mark Levin, to call anybody who actually knows about the Cold War, biological weapons and chemical weapons, a shill for the globalists. Let's go with your wacky theories. Let's put on our really tight tinfoil hats, double layered right now. Say they weren't defensive labs. Say America was funding the development of offensive biological weapons across all of Ukraine so that we could use them against the Russians. So what? Did IQs suddenly drop in the room? Did people forget the Cold War? What did we do during the Cold War? We developed nuclear weapons to turn Moscow and Leningrad and Novosibirsk into a sheet of glass. Does that justify Russia invading us? Bombing, oh, I don't know, Brigham and Women's Maternity Hospital in Boston? Is that okay now? When did conservatives, because you're not really conservatives, when did putative so-called conservatives become shills for our enemy? Because guess what? Russia is our enemy. They're not declaring war on the globalists. You are smoking crack if you think Putin is declaring war on the globalists. He's a former KGB colonel. He wants to control or destroy anyone that stands in his way. And I remember a time not too long ago when all conservatives hated KGB colonels. What has happened to this country? Somebody explain it to me, because I'm just a poor legal immigrant. Maybe I don't understand. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. Go to Spotify right now. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe. Never miss an episode. This is the Salem Radio Network. Your call's next. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
And now, second big reason for inflation is Vladimir Putin and gas prices. Not a joke. Make no mistake, the current spike in gas prices is largely the fault of Vladimir Putin. It has nothing to do with the American Rescue Plan.
That's the man who bears the title of president, saying gas prices have nothing to do with spending trillions of dollars. They're doubling down on the message. His, what shall we call her, propagandist in chief, was challenged by Fox's Peter Doocy to the same effect. Play cards.
Inflation goes up today. The president's statement blames the Putin price hike. Are you guys just going to start blaming Putin for everything until the midterms?
Well, we've seen the price of gas go up at least 75 cents since President Putin lined up troops on the border of Ukraine.
And last month, the statement didn't mention the Putin price hike. It mentioned inflation because of the pandemic. Why is that?
Well, Peter, last 2 years, there was a global pandemic. Everyone who's a global economists have all agreed that that has been the biggest contributor to date of inflation because of the impact on the supply chain. Obviously, global events impact the economy, the global economy, as well as global inflation.
Is it Putin? Is it COVID? Is it the supply chain? Let's ask a man who follows American politics very, very closely. Presidential historian, columnist, financier, justice reform advocate, co-host of the Scholars and Sense podcast, our regular guest, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back to America First.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Glad to be back, even following Jen Saki.
I apologize. I don't usually play cards with you because our callers, our listeners, so enjoy just listening to you for our two segments every week. But you know, somebody sat down and did the math after that challenge, and we've had a $1.92 increase of gas prices since the administration changed, and only 70 cents of that has occurred in the last 3 weeks since the war began. So is this blame Putin tactic going to be effective in a midterm year? And does the actual mathematics of the case matter?
The mathematics could be claimed to be relevant, but no. To answer the first part of your question, no, it won't work. It's bunk. I mean, the president is saying not one square inch of NATO territory has been attacked. So what? I mean, you might as well say Paraguay hasn't been attacked or New Zealand hasn't been attacked. I mean, the Russians haven't been threatening any NATO country. So the fact that NATO hasn't been attacked is irrelevant. And he says that Putin is responsible for price increases, especially in gasoline, and that's rubbish. I mean, he's maybe partly responsible for the last part of the price hike, but as even Steve Ratner, who was a partisan Democrat and was associated with the Obama administration, but a capable and respected man in financial circles, said that this is nonsense. I mean, the results for the last revealed month of February, had practically nothing to do with Ukraine and related events.
Right now, we are seeing the Chiron on TV news reporting breaking news that President Zelensky is addressing the Canadian Parliament. Tomorrow, it will be Congress. As somebody who's written seminal works, not just on President Trump, we can put those works up on the screen right now, but also on FDR and on Richard Nixon. How much is Zelensky's performance in the last 3 weeks a kind of hearkening back to what statecraft looked like? Is this a reminder that Western politicians should pay more attention to, Lord Black?
I think you've got two elements here. In the first place, he is a professional entertainer.
Right.
And he's a showman, and he knows a lot about the presentation of what he wants to say. And I no doubt that assisted him in being elected in the first place, not because alone of his celebrity, but because of his talent at putting out his personality and his ideas. And this business of just going out of doors in Kiev and impromptu speaking to handheld cameras and microphones is tremendously effective. So I think he's a pioneer in that respect. But in a larger sense, this emergence of a moral hero of an oppressed people. It's a little like Lech Walesa and Nelson Mandela. Now, these people are easily distinguishable. They're not interchangeable, but the principle is the same of a charismatic, determined, and very articulate leader in this case, nationality that is being subjected to this outrageous and illegal and, in many respects, barbarous invasion. This is something that civilized people, naturally sympathize with, and especially so when the chief spokesman of the oppressed group is so articulate and so evidently physically courageous and so effective a spokesperson as he is. So, there are technical aspects of it that will doubtless be emulated, but the posture of the president of Ukraine is one that has admirable historical antecedents, including very great statesmen such as Winston Churchill.
The books are A Champion of Freedom, his FDR work, then Richard Nixon, A Life Lived in Full, and then Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other. Follow Lord Black right now on Twitter, Conrad M. Black. The podcast is Scholars in Sense. As I reminded my listeners earlier today, we have nigh on 3 years left of this administration. As somebody who's written about some of the most important presidents of the 20th century, is there a recovery historically from being in a situation where nations that rely upon us so much for their survival, like the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and UAE, not returning the calls from the current incumbent in the White House? What does that betoken for the next 3 years?
I am afraid it indicates that those countries will seek support elsewhere. And they are, from all accounts, the most concerned of any except Israel about the implications of Iran becoming a nuclear military power. And there's no secret about the fact that the Saudis have urge successive American administrations to do the necessary to prevent Iran becoming a nuclear military power. So in the apparently impending total surrender that the Biden administration proposes to make to effectively, using the Secretary of State's line, green light elevation to a nuclear military power of Iran, the green light, the phrase he used about the MiGs going from Poland to Ukraine before he was contradicted by the Pentagon spokesman. The idea of Iran not only becoming a nuclear power, but effectively with the blessing of the United States, whatever their official verbal position, I think we can understand why, that neither the Emirates nor the House of Saud, who went out of their way to cooperate with the Trump administration and conciliate Israel and keep a solid front against Iran, feel that the United States has just let them down, just dropped out, dropped the ball. And they're looking elsewhere to make arrangements to protect themselves. And there is no way that this can be presented as anything other than yet another rebuke for the U.S. and yet another failure for this policy of appeasement of America's enemies.
And the breaking news that Saudi Arabia is considering accepting the digital Chinese yuan instead of the U.S. dollar for oil payments?
Well, I think that's a token of the same phenomenon. I mean, if they don't feel the Americans are acting in a way that is protective of Saudi's interest, then why should they continue facilitating anything the United States is doing? And I think all this is temporary. Whatever happens in 3 years, I think you'll have a much more purposeful administration. And at that point, it'll be possible to go around and pick the pieces up. I mean, you know, let us face it, many of America's allies today are countries with which at one time had terrible disagreements, such as Japan and Germany and Vietnam. Yes. And so on. I mean, Vietnam isn't exactly an ally, but it's a cooperating, friendly country. And so, you know, these things can be put back together. But as your comment implied, the next 3 years, if it's going to be three continuous years of what we've had for the last 15 months, it is going to be a very, very difficult time. And you have to assume that a good many countries will consider...
We'll be following the lead of those who are already not returning calls. He's Lord Conrad Black. This is America First. Back after these messages.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Welcome back, dear friends. Please join us later this year if you've had enough of the COVID blues. If you want to get out there, join us for our Stand with Israel tour, 10 days in the Holy Land to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. If these are places you've only read about in the Bible, come and join us. We'll actually be there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in Jerusalem at the Temple Mount. We'll be there, the Holy Church of the Sepulchre. Join us November 30th to December 9th with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. Register today. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. StandWithIsraelTour.com. We are back with our regular guest, Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now at Conrad M. Black. Read his writings at the Epoch Times, at American Greatness, and also listen to the podcast he co-hosts with Victor Davis Hanson and also with Bill Bennett. It's Bill called Bennett. Scholars and Sense. Listen to it. Subscribe today. Lord Black, thank you for the assist there. I had a Biden moment there for a second. let's talk about this specter that we have 3 years left constitutionally of this administration. You always are so assiduous in your saying you're not a psychiatrist, you're not a psychologist, you can't get into the heads of those that we are talking about. However, politically, are there scenarios within which the Democrat Party defines rationality or common sense? Because we're playing clips today and yesterday of members of the cabinet saying, yeah, this is a great opportunity. The war with Russia is a great opportunity to get rid of fossil fuels. And, oh, you can just buy a Tesla. Arrogance, detachment from reality and what the average American lives. Is there any way in which suddenly they have a cold shower and act a little bit more reasonably?
I think we have to wait for election day for that. I mean, it appears that, I don't know how this happened, and historians well connected with these events, or at least capable of ascertaining exactly what happened, we'll have to analyze this. But the Democratic Party, which in fairness was under President Clinton, for example, it was a center-left operation, but it wasn't in any sense extreme or absurdly careless, reckless regime. You know, they balanced the budget generally, and they behaved in the – I mean, I personally wouldn't have – if I'd had a vote, wouldn't have voted for President Clinton, but you can't say it was an extreme or irrational concept of government that he had. And most of the senior people he had were, you know, people you could deal with. But here we have the great Democratic Party taken over by an outright socialist movement infested with anti-Americanism. Essentially a self-hating movement, but convincing itself that it wasn't self-hate. It was patriotism, because it wanted to make America better by curing it of these terrible, horrible, cancerous problems and failings it supposedly has. And this is nonsense, and the great majority of Americans don't believe it. I mean, obviously, there are things that can be improved. There are things that everyone in every country regrets about the country and hopes can be worked on and repaired. But this wokeness, this anti-patriotism, this anti-Americanism, this compulsive, ignorant revisionism of history, where Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln were in no sense friends of African American rights, and where the revolution itself was essentially a proposition to preserve slavery and expand it. This kind of nonsense doesn't represent more than, at a maximum, I would say 15 or 20% of opinion, and most of that opinion is very fragile, because it is demonstrable rubbish what is being presented here. And how that group, which Bernie Sanders himself, the ostensible leader of it, says it's not more than a third of the Democrats, how they got hold of the policymaking apparatus of that party is something that I think historians and just political scientists will want to know. But that's the way it is, and they are riding like the like the light brigade into the valley of electoral death, because they're not trying to finesse it. They're not trying to do a course correction as we get closer to election day. They're saying full speed ahead. Our problem is we haven't been radical enough,
right?
And they can't get anything through the Congress, even though they ostensibly control the Congress, and they're just going to be hit between the eyes or right on the forehead with a 2x4 at a great velocity on election day.
And
I think
when it comes to that ideological driver, the wokeness, and I don't want to be overly optimistic, but is it feasible that what we are seeing, the ruddy-faced 18-year-olds in Ukraine fighting for their nation after 3 days of training, the maternity hospitals being shelled by the Russians, could that be the beginning of a death knell for the grip that wokeness has over Western politics?
I think it can certainly contribute to it, because I think it makes everyone, including the woke themselves, who are still capable of thinking conscientiously, what a contrast there is between these people defaming their own country, demonstrating often violently. But the summer of peaceful protests, as we know, caused over $2 billion of damage across the country. And injured 700 people and killed 40 some people, I believe. There's a contrast between that and these people literally putting their lives on the line to defend their country and to defend a concept of human dignity and civil liberties. And Ukraine isn't a perfect politically functioning state. It hasn't been successful at self-government, but it is a people with a consciousness of themselves and a determination to maintain their independence and to build a fine country there. And, you know, precisely the sentiments that inspire every serious nationality in the world, including, obviously, the United States. And the contrast between the courage of these people and the self-indulgent, morally corrupt, and frequently violent criminality of the forces of protest and negation and nihilism in the United States is and to some extent other countries is extremely clear and striking. I mean, I go back to what was before either of us was born, but what Mr. Churchill said in 1940 when Russia attacked Finland, the Soviet Union, he said the Finns. And he said it the following year, the Greeks, too, and the Italians and Germans attacked Greece. The Finns are showing the world what free men can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is something that can inspire anybody. And the conduct of this lumpen pretentiousness of woke mental decomposition that has afflicted the United States in the last couple of years is disgusting, and it disgusts most Americans.
If life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness applies to Americans, it applies to Ukrainians as well. We've been talking to Lord Conrad Black, co-host of Scholars and Sense. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your call's next.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Let's talk about something fun. Come on, guys. You know you want to come with me and Dinesh D'Souza's lovely wife, Debbie, for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year, November 30th to December 9th, to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth, the places you've read about in the Bible, you've always wanted to go. We're going to be there. Jerusalem, Temple Mount, Holy Church of the Sepulchre, the shores of the Sea of Galilee, you name it. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Book your tickets today. Go to StandWithIsraelTour.com or call 855-565-5519. That number again, don't delay, 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com, StandWithIsraelTour.com. How did we get where we are today? If you look at the world in flames, Mark Levin had a superb segment on his show at the weekend. Cut eight.
The reason Putin didn't invade Ukraine when Donald Trump was president is because he respected and feared Donald Trump. That's why deterrence. Trump increased the military spending. He talked NATO into increasing their spending, even though he was attacked as a Russian, you know, operative who was undermining NATO. No, he was fed up with NATO because they wouldn't spend the money they needed to defend themselves. Iran didn't in a pot, if you get my drift, because they feared Trump, because Trump was destroying Iran. He choked Iran. Missile man, little rocket man over there in North Korea, he was behaving himself too. And we can go on and on and on. For all the attacks on Donald Trump, the man was a foreign policy genius, was he not? Sorry, John Bolton, you really blew it.
Yes, John Bolton, you blew it. He was feared and he was respected. How fast that has all changed. We're going to unpack all of it, especially the events in Iraq over the weekend, with the author of The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden, Professor Waleed Faris. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Professor. Always a pleasure to be with you.
The title of your book, The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden. Can I give you a new title for your book?
Please do.
The Choice, Peace versus War.
That's a very...
I mean, is there not a better summary? I mean, the president said this is the first time in this century that Russia the first time that they didn't invade a neighbor was under his watch.
That's correct.
And now we have... you are the expert. You've written books on jihadism, on the Middle East, now the different choices between left and right when it comes to foreign policy. Explain what the significance is. If the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Emir of UAE do not return the phone calls of any American president, how big is that?
That's a huge benchmark. We have not seen anything like that, even in the past decades where there were disagreements between those countries and other countries, Egypt, Israel, and any administration, at least in the form. I mean, there will be respect. What is missing now is this respect, unfortunately, and it's built over months. And that is the beginning of the Biden administration. But let me go back to what you said in your intro.
Please.
Which is historic, because I lived it. I mean, both of us came from countries that experienced the Soviet experiment or ally to it. When we arrived here, we saw that the American academics...
Explain where you came from. Tell our millions of listeners.
Born and raised in Lebanon, in Beirut, Lebanon. I lived through the Lebanese War 15 years. We faced the Syrian occupation, which was a pro-Soviet satellite in the Middle East. Everything the Ukrainians are experiencing right now, we went through. One of the reasons why I came to begin with to a free land was the ending of that war where the Syrian Assad regime occupied Lebanon. When we got here, we saw that American academia was presenting two cases. One was the book of Fukuyama.
The end of history.
Yeah, the end of history.
We've won.
Yes, and I said, wait a minute, in the classroom. No, it did not end. Guys, you don't understand. I'm coming from where it's going to be a major problem. Fortunately, there was the book of Samuel Huntington. As you said, it's not complete, but it was the beginning of showing us what is ahead of us, this clash of civilizations, regions, nationalism, and here we are living it. I mean, yeah. What are they fighting about in Ukraine? It's Donetsk. It's the Crimea. You would feel you are not in the Cold War, but in the 19th century. With the Cossacks advancing and the Russians and Napoleon, that's where we are. And unfortunately, our academia did a bad job in the 90s, and this created the elites that went to the executive branches that did not understand where international
and
relations
and still
were.
Don't understand.
And still do not understand.
Look, we are both immigrants to this country. We love America. And I don't want this to be a session where we just bash people, our fellow American citizens. But your point... I'm troubled by this because it's not difficult to learn from history because it's written down. You have to open a book and read. What you just said, that we are back in the 19th century or the 18th century, seems to be so obvious. Why is that not understood amongst the quote-unquote learned elites in America? You're not building a rocket to go to Mars. This is open a book about Bismarck, open a book about Napoleon, and you'll see the same forces in play today.
Well, look, Professor, you taught as much as I did in this country. We are good Americans and want the interests of this country. We know that the textbooks that were prepared by this academic elites, they are responsible for how the classroom was diseducated, miseducated. And you know, graduates will go from where? It'll go from the classroom to the courtroom to the war room to the newsroom. So basically that's where the problem we are facing right now.
We're talking to the author of many books, Global Jihad and on and on and on. That was a core reading for my students when I was still teaching. The most recent is The Choice, Trump versus Obama, Biden in U.S. Foreign Policy. Waleed Farris, follow him on Twitter. Waleed Farris, it's P-H-A-R-E-S. Contrast this, if you will. It's very difficult to recover from people not returning your call if you're the president. Unless the president changes, it's very hard to win back that respect. Contrast that, if you will. You mentioned Syria, you mentioned Lebanon. President Trump had more than 200 officers, operatives of the Wagner Group, who are really Russian operatives, killed in Syria because they were destabilizing Syria. And Putin did nothing, Professor. Isn't that stunning? So one person doesn't get his calls returned, the other one can deal with a threat, and the thug does nothing.
You know, you're absolutely right. But on top of it, so President Trump gives orders to our military and our strategic forces to act on the ground. They did in Syria. Nobody was able to get close to the eastern part of Syria where we are in charge, or nobody was able to get close to us in Iraq and elsewhere. At the same time, President Trump will talk to Putin and will say, this is what I want. That's what we lack right now in this crisis at this point in time. You deploy on the ground, you show signals, and then you speak with the other side. That's the Cold War. That's the language of the Cold War. These guys went back to the Cold Wars or to the 19th century. We need to go and, you know, speak the same language while keeping our values. That's the big equation that was not done before.
Yes, crucially important. Did you hear what Professor Faris said? Our actions must comport with our values. That's why we are America. But relax, dear friends. The update has been announced from the White House. Not a joke. This isn't SNL. This isn't Monty Python. But they have released a statement to the following effect. This is from the White House. Starting World War III is not in our interests. The great geopolitical minds have spoken. World War III is not a good thing. Thank you, Jen Psaki. Thank you, Joe, if you're still taking a nap. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're talking to Professor Waleed Faris. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with your host, Sebastian Gorka, member of the National Security Education Board, former strategist of President Trump. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Stand With Israel Tour.
You see what they're doing here with having Russia try to negotiate a new Iran deal, and we don't want a new Iran deal. And the thing is, we already have said no more Russian oil into our supply chain. But now they're trying to say, okay, let's go deal with Iran and make buying Iranian oil a part of our solution. And then Venezuela, we ought not to be buying oil from any of these guys.
It just sounds like common sense. And that's why we love Senator Marsha Blackburn. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy our radio show as much as we love making it, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Like Spotify, go to Spotify, punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never miss a thing. It's absolutely free. Write us a review and share the links. We are back with Professor Waleed Faris, most recently the author of The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden. Professor, you want to react to the White House statement today that World War III, shock, horror, breaking news, is not in our interests.
It's just amazing because there is a confusion, Seb, between a journalist position and a decision maker. A journalist can write an op-ed and say, you know, anything they want, it's not the time for... But a decision maker, a president or a leadership, should not telegraph their ideas to the other side. This is classical. They could send their intelligence services talking to the other side intelligence services and tell them this is the line where we're not going to work. But the principle should be we are going to do everything we can.
Let me explain for those who don't know why the professor is saying this. If a nation says that has nuclear weapons, nuclear war is not in our interest, what does the bad guy do? He precipitates a situation where nuclear war is the only response, but you've already said, I can't do it, therefore what happens? You capitulate.
Yes.
It's like in Bosnia in 1995. Clinton says, no air cover, no ground troops. So what do the Serbs do? They go house to house, ethnic cleansing. Why? Because they know if you're not going to send troops in, well, we can do whatever we want.
Yes.
Don't tell the bad guys what you're going to do. It's not complicated. Okay, I called you urgently today to get you in studio because of what happened in Erbil in northern Iraq at the weekend. My producer said, why are the Iranians bombing U.S. facilities? And I said, well, because Joe Biden is president. Explain what happened in the weekend and why it's significant.
It could be as simple as that. That the Iranian leadership have discovered as we are handling Ukraine and making statements that, no, we're not going to do anything, we're not going to go inside. Remember that the Biden administration is saying, no matter what is the price, I'm going to sign the Iran deal. So that's even another worse mistake. Signing the Iran deal, meaning you're not going to act against Iran. So Iran lobbing missiles or ballistic missiles on our bases is basically telling us that Iran can do anything it wants. that we lost the deterrence in the Middle East. And that is not just northern Iraq. Wait a few weeks. You're going to see southern Iraq in that desert on the borders with Saudi Arabia. And then you're going to look at what's going to happen from Yemen into Saudi Arabia. Iran at this point in time is on steroids.
And because they're waiting for the new Iran deal.
They are waiting for the Iran deal. They're waiting for the money. And they saw how we acted in Europe and how we didn't act in the Middle East. So that's for them the day to act.
And when the Russian interlocutor says on camera, I am shocked by what the Iranians are managing to get out of the Biden administration. How do we respond to that?
Well, that was something we thought was a secret, but now when the Russians are talking about it.
On camera.
On camera. This is, I would say, the politics of too much. I mean, we did not even expect that this could happen.
Yeah. The book is The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden. I think we have to get the good professor back for a much longer discussion on the ramifications of not only what we are witnessing in Iraq, but also China. China supporting Russia, what is happening still in Syria, a kind of black box nobody's reporting about, and of course the fate of Lebanon, the land where it came from. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Go to Spotify, look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. This is the Salem Radio Network. It is an opportunity. All geopolitical conflict is an opportunity for bad actors like cyber hackers to capitalize on uncertainty. And Russia's invasion of Ukraine is just the kind of chaos that can put you at risk, especially America's homeowners. Why? Because the hackers will use this opportunity to undermine your security. You're used to robocalls, text for donations to fake organizations, emails with unfamiliar attachments. You're familiar with those scams, but there is a larger one. And it's hard to detect and even harder to stop. And it could cost you your home. It's called home title fraud. And it happens when a cyber hacker finds the title to your home online and the deeds to all of our homes are online. Then the hacker forges your signature, removes you from the home's title, and then takes loans out on the property and leaves you with the debt. What makes home title fraud so devastating is that you won't know you've been hacked until it's too late. You can go to the county recorder's office and check to make sure your home is still in your name, or simply, far more easily, just go to HometitleLock.com. Enter your address and see if you're already a victim. It's just smart to do this. This is the most valuable asset you own. Go today, get protection, HometitleLock.com. It's the surest way to make sure that you will not lose your home to a cyber attacker using geopolitical instability. That's HometitleLock.com, HometitleLock.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.